You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Wednesday to you from snowy Fayetteville. We're snowed in today, so we're going to have a little bit different show for you. I'm in my home office. Anthony Christensen joins us from Auburn, Alabama, in just a moment to preview Arkansas and the number one Auburn Tigers tonight. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Arkansas and Auburn tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN. Anthony Christensen is in Auburn. Anthony, is it better weather there in Alabama than what we've got here?
It is, yes. It rained overnight, I think. It looked a little wet when I looked out the window this morning. I haven't actually been outside, but it's a little warmer. I walked around the downtown area a little bit last night and didn't even have a coat on, so that was a nice change. I left on Monday, went to St. Louis, and then on Tuesday morning in St. Louis, just barely beat out the big snow there, and got down here. So it's been a journey, but it's certainly nicer here and warmer. So that's pretty good.
Well, I was looking at my weather bug here. It says it's 9 degrees in Fayetteville with a -5 wind chill, and I couldn't tell you how much snow is on the ground outside right now, but. It's a lot. Snow fell all day yesterday, and I know they're saying some parts of our area might get up to a foot of snow, so glad the Razorbacks aren't playing here tonight. Otherwise, you might have an empty Bud Walton Arena. Auburn tonight, this is one of those games where it feels like this is going to be a real, you know, tall mountain for Arkansas to climb to be able to win this game. Auburn's got Jahni Broom. A lot of people think that either he or Cooper Flagg are going to win National Player of the Year this year. But you wrote this yesterday that as soon as you start keying in on Jahni Broom, Auburn's got three-point shooters that can really hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Auburn has the best offense in the country. I mean, when you look at, you know, the adjusted efficiency, KenPom number one, and it's not particularly close. I mean, you're looking at an Auburn team that is, in the KenPom era, one of the best that there's ever been to this point. Like, you're looking at a team that is very comparable to last season's UConn team that just stormed through the NCAA tournament. And that's not to say that I think Auburn is necessarily just going to walk all over everybody on its way to a national title, but it certainly looks like a possibility. So you're looking at, like, Auburn, it's so much more than just Jahni Broom. Like, you know, obviously, Jahni Broom, like you mentioned, is realistically one of two guys who can win National Player of the Year, along with Cooper Flagg over at Duke. But then you look beyond him. I mean, Todd Pettiford's one of the best freshmen in the country coming off the bench. You've got Chad Baker Mazzara, who's been in college since the dawn of time and, you know, is still playing at a high level and brings them kind of experience and everything like that. Denver Jones, a guy who, you know, spent his first couple of years at, I believe it was Florida International. He's playing at a high level. Miles Kelly, Chaney Johnson, Ja'Kai Howard. I mean, whoever you want to look at, like Dylan Cardwell. Everybody can hurt them. J.P. Beguise, who hasn't played a ton, has dealt with some injury issues throughout the season, obviously hit that famous shot for Furman to beat Virginia in the NCAA tournament a couple of seasons ago. So there is, like, everywhere you look on this Auburn team, even like way down on the bench and guys who, you know, haven't really played that much, whether it be for injuries or maybe they're just not in the rotation as much, everybody can hurt you in some different way. So like, this Auburn team is just, it's very complete. Offensively, defensively, I think they've got the 13th rated defense in the country per KenPom. And, I mean, you look at, you know, three-point shooting is number 34 in the country. Two-point is 27. And you put all these numbers together, they don't turn the ball over at all, basically. I mean, I think they're, I mean, top two, I think, in non-steal turnovers. So, they're so complete, they're so deep, they've got everything that you really need to have like a contender. And I mean, Bruce Pearl is, you know, coaching a phenomenal season as well. You know, he's probably the chalk to win National Coach of the Year right now. So you could realistically have Auburn, and this is something that I think it's Gary Parrish has pointed out on a podcast I listened to, CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball. He's pointed it out that you could realistically have Auburn as the number one overall seed. You could have Bruce Pearl as National Coach of the Year and Jahni Broome as National Player of the Year, all there on one team. So it's just, it's ridiculously complete. It's ridiculously deep, and just everywhere you look on this Auburn roster, offensively, defensively, you're going to see guys who can hurt you in different ways.
You know, we talk all the time that in sports, you can only, you know, hit that high level so many games. And Auburn did it last weekend against Alabama, beating them, you know, there in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if they ever trailed in that game. I think they went wire to wire.
The first time ever for Nate Oates coaching Alabama that he never led at home.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, so they were – they hit that magic level that coaches, you know, want their teams to have. I wonder, do you think Arkansas maybe can take a little bit of advantage of that? Because there's a natural letdown that comes, you know, not necessarily that they'll lose the game, but that for Auburn to hit that level two games in a row probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah, you'd think so for sure. I mean, there's obviously you've got the emotional high of beating not just the number two team in the country in Alabama, but also – you know, beating the bitter rival, right? So there's that goes into it. But, I mean, this Auburn team has just won so many games. Just I think it's ridiculous just how many games they've won just consecutively and blown out good teams too. I mean, it's just kind of remarkable when you look at all the winning margins and just how well they've played in a lot of these games. And Bruce Pearl's been in this position before, so I think that might be something that maybe, you know, he's learned from, because his I think he was number two at the time. His number two Tennessee team went to number one Memphis, coached by John Calipari, ironically enough.
And the game well.
Yeah. And then they turned around and lost. I don't remember who they lost to off the top of my head in their next game, but they did lose that next game. So, you know, he's been in this position before. He's won the game and then lost the next one. So maybe he takes, you know, some lessons from that and is able to, I guess, coach his team up and have them ready to go. But there is the difference in highs. Like, you know, the big rivalry game against, you know, the number two ranked team in the country versus coming in against an Arkansas team that, you know, hasn't met expectations for the most part this season and is kind of desperate for a win. So I think that's certainly a factor, but I think, you know, Bruce Pearl's probably the kind of coach at this stage of his career and at this stage of the season with the team he has that's probably, you would think, able to get his team to look past that, if that makes sense.
John Calipari talked the other day about maybe playing a bigger lineup, trying to counter Auburn. Do you expect that to happen?
You would think so. I wouldn't think you would just bring it up to ignore it. Maybe he's just kind of you know, putting his thoughts out there in the world, which I know he's done in the past. But I mean, when you look at Arkansas has the size that you can contend with a lot of these bigger teams. So if you were to start, say, Jonas Adu at the five and move Zvonimir Visic over to the four, I think that's something that, you know, could be effective in a game like this. You're not going to have a Visic who, you know, kind of defensively, you got dunked on a couple of times against Texas A&M, and you realistically could see a lot of the same things happen against Auburn just because of the different threats Auburn has and Jahni Broome obviously being who and what he is. So you could very realistically see, you know, moving him over to the four where he's not going to have to play as much post defense and maybe try to clog the lane a little bit and kind of cause Jahni Broome's issues, just because Arkansas does have the option to do that with the size of, you know, Adu and Avisic and even Trevor in Brazil, if you want to throw him in as well. So you've got the options to do that. And I would think that it's certainly an appealing option, but it kind of goes back to, I think I wrote about it. If you focus too much on stopping Jahni Broome inside, then, you know, maybe you leave Tahad Pettiford open on the perimeter, or, you know, allow Denver Jones to get into a driving mood, and you can lose in different ways. And that's kind of the big reason that you see this Auburn team having the success it's had.
You know, one of the things that I think has been one of the big changes in the SEC in the last maybe 5 to 10 years, probably say 10 years, is the fact that Auburn's got this incredible home court advantage. I mean, you know, you think back 10 years ago and you would have said, well, the best home court advantages in the SEC probably belong to Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe Florida, Arkansas would be in that conversation. Now it feels like that conversation begins with Auburn. They've been incredible in that arena, and that's a huge component to this game tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to experience the jungle, as they call it. You know, it's been one that's been on my list since I started covering college basketball, so it's going to be a lot of fun to get into Neville Arena and experience that, you know, kind of environment, especially with Auburn being the number one ranked team in the country. I think it's going to make that a lot of fun, and it's going to be something Arkansas obviously has to contend with as well. So that'll make for some interesting viewing, I think. I'm really excited for it. I mean, it's a small arena. It only seats a little over 9,000 people, so it's kind of let me pull this up. I don't remember exactly how many people Cameron Indoor seats. I think it's around the same. Yeah, it's a little bit smaller than Cameron Indoor Stadium. So it's interesting to view in that regard, and I've been to Cameron Indoor. That place rocks. It's awesome. I was there when Duke played in a Black Friday bye game against Southern Indiana, so the students weren't on campus, and it was still an incredible environment for a bye game. So, I mean, that was a lot of fun, and this is obviously, it's a bigger game. It's a league game for the number one team in the country, trying to solidify its standing, not just as the number one team in the country, but also trying to win that SEC regular season championship. So it's a big game for Auburn as well as for Arkansas, which obviously Arkansas needs to find some wins to solidify its tournament resume and kind of get off that bubble. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to experience Neville Arena tonight, I think.
Well, you know, I think there's misconception is the right word, but you know, there's been this thought for so long that bigger means louder or more intimidating. I don't think that's the case. I mean, Barnhill Arena only sat about 9,000-10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And look how good Arkansas was at Barnhill Arena. And they've been good at Bud Walton too. But there's been a move, Anthony, back toward these small, intimate, you know, gymnasiums where you put a lot of premium seating in there. They've got that at Auburn. They've got that at Ole Miss. You saw that a week or so ago whenever you went down to Texas. You know, similar concept there. Bigger doesn't mean better all the time.
Yeah, no, I know Duke is a smaller private school, so it's obviously going to have a smaller arena, but you look to the Cameron Indoor example, when you have an extremely high level team playing in a small arena, I mean, that place gets, you know, it incredibly loud. And I know Neville Arena doesn't have like the history that Cameron Indoor has or anything like that. I know it's a newer arena, if I'm not mistaken. So
it was about 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah, so it's a newer arena, so it doesn't necessarily have the same history or stuff like that. But I mean, you got an Auburn team that, especially in recent years, has been, you know, up there with the best programs in the country, which speaks to the job that Bruce Pearl has done there. And yeah, it is kind of interesting to see, you know, schools and teams go to these, you know, smaller arenas, which I've always enjoyed kind of the more intimate kind of right there kind of feel of a smaller arena. And coming from, you know, covering the mid-major realms, I've seen a lot of smaller arenas that, you know, can really pack a punch. Like Southern Illinois has got a really great arena that can get really loud when it gets going, and I mean, Belmont's got a really nice on-campus arena. So not to get too far into the weeds of mid-major basketball, but these smaller arenas, they get loud, especially when the teams are playing well. And when you have a team that's as good as Auburn, it can really get going. So that'll be a lot of fun. And not to you know, poo-poo on, you know, bigger arenas. I mean, I was at Thompson Bowling this season, which I think it's one of the five biggest arenas in the country, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, that place was incredible. So, I mean, it can vary. Like, you know, the great arenas, great environments come in all shapes and sizes, and I'm never gonna turn away a good chance to cover a game in a great environment.
But even Thompson Bowling and Rupp Arena, they've both been downsized in terms of capacity in the last 10 years or so. It's going to happen at Bud Walton. We don't know when, but we know that it's going to happen at some point. There was that era of late 70s through probably mid 90s where it was how big can you build these places?
Yeah, I remember
the pendulum swung back the other way a little bit. Dave Pasch, Jay Williams, Alyssa Lang on the call tonight on ESPN. Auburn is a 16.5 point favorite to win this game over Arkansas coming into the day. What do you think Arkansas has got to do to have a chance?
Well, you gotta find a way to limit Jahni Broome while also kind of limiting the opportunities Auburn's going to have to fire from three and also the driving and everything like that. You know, Auburn's really good at cutting, even though I don't necessarily think that's something people always think about with Auburn. And frankly, Arkansas is going to have to play its best game of the season. I don't think that there's any debate about that. If Arkansas is going to win this game, it needs to play its best game of the season. And also, you're going to need Auburn to play poorly, to be quite frank. I mean, this Auburn team is, you know, won games in which it's not played up to its standard. I mean, you look at the South Carolina game that kind of went to the buzzer that Auburn won. And Frank, like, it's an Auburn team that can win ugly. It's an Auburn team that can win pretty. And it's an Auburn team that can win everywhere in between. So you're going to need to, if you're Arkansas, you're going to need to play your best game of the season while also hoping that maybe Auburn's missing some shots it would typically hit. So and also you're going to have to kind of take advantage of your size, I think, is going to be a big thing that John Calipari's kind of alluded to in the past. Limit Jahni Broome. And then also, I guess, I mean, you can't foul him. You can't give him free easy points. And I mean, they're just, you can get to the free throw line, I think, is another issue or another area that, you know, maybe Arkansas can take advantage of, because Auburn's not necessarily a team that doesn't foul a lot. Auburn is kind of middle of the country in terms of fouls conceded, if that makes sense. And then, you know, if you can hit your free throws, maybe you give yourself a chance. But I think those are the biggest things. You know, get to the free throw line and then, you know, limit Jahni Broome, and then also maybe hope Auburn doesn't play as well as it typically can.
Yeah, and I feel like Arkansas needs to keep this in a more low scoring game. They I don't think they can get out and run with Auburn.
No, I don't think so either. But I said the same thing going into that Kentucky game, and look what happened. So, you know, maybe they can do that. I mean, if you get, you know, Jonnell Davis and DJ Wagner to hit some shots, and obviously Savannah Maravicic, who has, you know, been one of the best 3-point shooters in the country since, I think, you know, SEC play started. His numbers are very good, and maybe not since SEC play started, but, you know, in SEC play, I think he's shooting about 44% from three. So if you can get him going, get Jonnell Davis going, maybe DJ Wagner going, and not necessarily, like, I'm not saying like just go out there and chuck threes or anything, but you need to have that as a viable option against Auburn, and then you also need to, you know, limit their scoring as well. So it's quite the mountain to be climbed, that's for sure. But I guess, hey, mountains are there to be climbed. So yeah.
Anthony, good stuff. Enjoy Auburn.
I will do my best. Thanks for having me.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King. We are Soapbox. We are ShopCart. We are design.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow with Bubba Carpenter to talk Arkansas baseball and the upcoming games in Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. We hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com, tonight. All of our Arkansas-Auburn coverage. Hope we see you on our podcast tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.